Blind Cool Tech, December 12, 05.
Blind Cool Tech, the show where life,
hey y'all,
technology,
hello,
and blindness,
hello, is anyone here? I can't see anything.
Comes together.
Please welcome your host, Larry Skookong.
Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Skookong, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. And I hope you'll join me for the walk home while we wrap up a few things about the MP3 players. Let's go right. Good boy. And accessibility. And things to consider as you give these for gifts. Got a couple other things to talk to you about today, too. Oh, warmed up pretty nicely out here today. And it was probably about 30 this morning when I was coming in. It was snowing a little. Raining, snowing, both. So I wore my trench coat. I put this on the other morning and Marley goes, "Why is Pappy wearing a dress?" Cutting out the side of the building today. I was actually going to go down here and check on getting a haircut, but I think I've got Mars tonight, so I have to wait and do that some other day. Let's see, I think if y'all will excuse me just a sec, I'm going to try putting on a hat that might act as a windshield as well. Not a hat, but sort of a toboggan type of thing. So. Hey there.
How you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Alright.
Are we in your way here?
I'm not.
Okay. Alright, little buddy. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. One, be sure and check out, I think it came through last night on IT Conversations, fantastic interview with Ray Kurzweil, talking about his new book, whose name I don't recall. I thought I would try to remember it, but it's a kind of a funny name. And I don't. It's not in Bookshare either, so I may have to ask Santa Claus for that book as a Christmas present. I read his Age of Thinking Machines, I believe it was called, and Age of Spiritual Machines. And they were both excellent books. Very good. Thought-provoking. So, be sure and check that out. Looks like we got a red light here. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Hey there.
also wanted to talk to you a little bit about if every day were Christmas. I don't know if you all have been following this controversy or not, but basically Adam Curry on the Daily Source Code podcast made a call for some Podsafe music, Christmas tunes. And Jerry Hallaton responded. Actually, his stage name is Slaw. S-L-A-U, I believe. But you all know Jerry from his contributions on BCT with the microphone articles. Well, he composed and performed the song called Every Day, If Every Day Were Christmas. And Adam Curry got it and asked to try to get a project going to say, you know, let's get some Podsafe music artists together to do a collaboration of this song and donate the proceeds to UNICEF. So Jerry did a lot of work to make this happen in a very short amount of time. Well, as you know, Daryl Shandro of the Blind Access Journal has been hammering or working with the Podsafe Music Network, which, hold on, let's put the gloves on here a little bit. It's not quite as warm as I thought it was. The Podsafe Music Network is an idea, a concept that really Podshow started as a way to make it easy for artists to distribute their music and easy for podcasters to play music that's deemed what they call pod safe. So the artist actually gives you permission to play the music on your show. There's a few requirements for the podcaster. You have to, first of all, register with the Podsafe Music Network, which I have done, and I've listened to songs on Podsafe Music Network, but one of the other requirements is that you report back to the network when you play a song on your cast. Well, that turns out to be a little bit harder to do for a blind person than it should be. But Daryl says that there's a few people that can do it, mainly with window eyes. I guess I haven't given it, you know, I spent an hour or so on it and never really got very far with it. I could probably figure it out, but it just wasn't worth it to me. Well, until this song came through, and I really thought, well, hey, this is pretty neat because Jerry's a blind guy, and he's in the Podsafe Music Network. So I was pretty interested in playing that. And there's a lot of other stuff over there that's really good. A few artists that I would love to play. And Daryl's been working with Adam Curry and some of the others at Pod Show to work on accessibility. Well, Jerry Hamilton, or SLA, I don't know all the story here. I know Daryl's been hammering him for, not making sure the PodSafe Music Network is accessible, but there's a lot of things to consider in this position. One, Jerry's not a programmer. I'm sure he wants the PMN, PodSafe Music Network, to be as accessible as anyone else wants to. And I do know that Jerry pulled off a major feat with getting all these artists together and mixing this music from, it was artists from around the world. So anyway, I guess Daryl's hurt Jerry's feelings. And I can see that, actually. I know the guy busted his butt. And it's true. The PMN should be accessible, but it's not really... I can't hammer Jerry for that issue. I mean, Jerry pulled off a feat that is something that would be difficult for anyone to do. And I, as much as anyone, wants the PMN to be totally accessible. But I can't slam Jerry, good boy, for the lack of accessibility. So there's, a little bit of controversy around that issue, but I really think that progress is being made, and thanks to a large part from you, Daryl, we really appreciate that, and I think you know that. It's just that I think maybe some personalities clashed, some techniques didn't mesh, and there was a few hurt feelings over the issue, and that's a shame, but I don't think it's anything that is going to be of any permanent damage. I think Daryl realizes he's a little militant, that's his style, and that's fine, it takes all kinds of styles. We all approach things different ways, and that's not to say that any of them is more valid than the others. Some techniques certainly meet with greater degrees of success than others, and sometimes militancy is the way to do it, and one doesn't ever know. And I understand too Daryl's position about the unacceptability of inaccessibility, and this was a particularly sensitive situation since the particular artist in this case was blind himself. And I know Daryl is impatient, as we all can get, but I guess I just wanted to say that Daryl, don't feel like your efforts have been wasted. I think there's been some awareness, a lot of awareness of this issue, thanks to you especially, and I hope you don't get discouraged by just a little bit of controversy. And I hope we can all move on from this and work together. We certainly don't need to be fractious. Okay, so enough about that. I just want to say I really appreciate Jerry's work and Daryl's work. And I hope the two of you can work together. I know, Jerry's not necessarily an accessibility advocate. He's a musician and a very fine one at that. And I'll see what I can do about getting that song to any of you who have not heard about it yet. It may take me a few hours to get through that PodSafe Music Network. I guess that's, this is part of the story I don't really totally understand, but apparently Jeff Bishop had made a form and a link to make that song easier for blind people to get hold of in the interim until PMN can become more accessible, and I fully believe they will. But that wasn't really following the rules of the PodSafe Music Network. Take on what you're looking at, buddy, but you best be looking straight ahead. That's my good doggy. Jake's funny. Shelly's boyfriend Joe brought his dog over for a few days. Her name's Velma. She's about a year old. She's a cross between a lab and a Shar Pei, and she's about a fourth the size of Fred and Jake. And you could tell she was kind of scared of them the first day. And I thought, well, I was feeding them the next morning, and Jake came nosing around her food, and boy, she let him know that he best not be messing with that. So he backed off, and I started joking about she's going to be running the roost there within a day or two, and sure enough, she is already. She's the first one out. Jake used to always be first. He's been relegated to second in command now. And Liz called me up this morning. I put Velma back in her cage when I left for work because nobody was up yet. I really don't want her on the furniture and stuff. Well, I've been noticing that Fred was awful darn interested in that cage, that kennel. So Liz calls me up this morning and says, "Did you know you had Fred in the cage too?" Well, he was laying in the cage when I put her in there. So I had them both in the kennel. All right, back to MP3 players. Bought another MP3 player. Liz and I got it for Joe for his birthday. And this one was an AudioVox brand. Model 332-256J, I believe. 256 megs of RAM. $49 at Target. 256 is probably about the minimum you're going to want to do on an MP3 player, especially if you're going to be listening to podcasts. The unfortunate thing is I don't think there's a way to delete files from this unit either. There's no recording or no FM radio. Those may not matter to you. But the size and the shape and the etc.
accessibility of the way the buttons are physically on this device is very nice. Runs on one AAA battery, and it does show up as a regular drive, so you just copy your files over to it. Works out real well. So there's another one that may be of interest to you. Certainly usable and very inexpensive. Joe is kind of a, he seems to like old things, you know, LPs, and he drives a 76 BMW. It's in really good shape, but been joking with him, he skipped the whole CD thing, went straight from cassette to MP3s. So he had a amplifier under the back seat of his BMW, and it just happened to have two RCA jacks as inputs into it. So a regular iPod to a stereo cable worked out great, so he can just play this thing in his car now. And we've been recording some of his old LPs, and it turned out really nicely. But that's another option, is an inexpensive, fairly accessible, at least usable player. One thing that, too, we kind of brushed over, didn't talk about a lot, was the hard disk-based MP3 players. And what really... I mean, I think I mentioned that if you want to put a lot of music onto a device, we're talking hundreds of CDs, you're probably going to want a hard disk-based MP3 player. Now, as far as ones that play audible.com files, Audible.com, of course, being the audio books experts on the internet as far as electronic media goes. Let's go behind this. But their books are protected, so you have to have what they call an Audible-ready device. Of course, Bookport, Book Courier, Audible Ready. I believe PacMate is too. And probably Braille Note. And there's the iPods are. Unfortunately, the old hard disk based iRivers are not Audible compatible. And also, unfortunately, the trouble with these hard disk based MP3 players is, at least in the little experience I've had with the Arcos pre-Rockbox and the Dell hard disk based MP3 players, they're very, very difficult to use. To control. Now, of course, once I got the Arcos updated to support the Rockbox firmware, you know, that's the only way to go. That's very nice. You have complete access to all your songs, and copy podcasts on there very easily, delete them. Now, the thing about a hard disk-based MP3 player is that they're not going to be as durable as a flash-based one. So you will have it's much more sensitive, walking, running. You've got moving parts in there. Here comes the train. There's a bunch of them today. I just missed one. Let's see what this one says. One of them to do a review on that. Let's see, I have got, I think, everything off my chest that I wanted to tell you about MP3 players. Let's summarize. There's, of course, flash-based, hard disk-based, and CD-based MP3 players. Hey, in general, the flash-based ones, you know, they're just memory, so there's no moving parts, and they tend to be the smaller ones of the three. We've looked specifically at the iRiver IFP 899, which has been discontinued and is a really nice all-around player. A little difficult to delete the particular item that you're wanting from the player itself. The way the delete works on it is you stop the song, press in on the joystick, and it brings up a list of files. So you're supposed to arrow over to the one you want, hit the record button, and it asks you if you want to delete it, and hit the play button and it deletes it. Unfortunately, if that list were to come up with the current item selected, it would be perfect. But it always comes up with the first song selected, and you don't necessarily know, you know, which particular item you're listening to. So deleting is a problem. This Olympus WS320M looks to be an excellent choice for both recording and playing. Certainly the easiest of any of the digital players to record with. And this is the first of the Olympus line that does MP3s as well as WMAs. So that may be one that you would like to consider. We also looked in that earlier cast at a model from Walmart called the ILO 1 GB, and that sold for $99. They actually have a Philips model that's 6 GB. It's a hard disk based one. Have not checked that one out though. From what I read, looking up online, it doesn't look very promising. It almost sounds like you have to have their special software to upload to it, and I hope I'm wrong about that. If someone else knows more, please do let me know. We also, of course, we just looked at the AudioVox 256 megabyte model for $49 from Target. Of course, you know, being one of the people that works on the Bookport, I still maintain that navigation and the ability to delete any particular file and to find the file you want and have it all in a fairly small size is very nice. But I can understand why, you know, if you're just wanting a MP3 player, this, you know, the $400 price tag is a bit prohibitive. Because, you know, Bookport's one of these, one of the very few, in fact, players out there that actually does text as well as audio. In other words, of course, it has a speech synthesizer built into it. But for the audio portion of it, it is unsurpassed. Ooh, slick spots here. Nice for navigation within a file, going from file to file, being able to delete files, getting the material over to it. Very nice stuff. So do consider that. Of course, if you do buy a Bookport, I believe they're still shipping with only 256 megabytes of RAM. And they use flashcards, of course, for their storage, so you may want to spend actually another $100 to get more RAM. Or maybe even more than that, depending on how much you want it. Okay, let's talk about Blind Cool Tech for a moment. Obviously, I'm continue to be amazed and delighted with the wide array of knowledge. And skills that you listeners have and have been sending in your recordings. Excellent, excellent stuff. Please keep those coming. I see a few things that need to happen to Blind Cool Tech now that we're at the end of the year. First year, actually only half a year, because we started in June, so just a little over a half a year. We're up to 270 odd casts up there now, and it really would be nice if they were categorized. They're definitely going to have to be archived over the first few months of next year. I think what I might do is start gradually rolling off the oldest ones into a separate feed, and maybe call it, you know, BCT05. So it'll be easy for you to get older shows. But what the issue is that, you know, these RSS feeds have limitations on their size, and we're going to hit that limitation, oh, probably in March or April. So we're kind of looking, trying to decide how we're going to handle this a little bit ahead of time. And what I will do, like I say, is kind of leave the web page like it is right now as a first step, and then, you know, I'll have a link maybe at the top for archives, and we'll put all of BCT for 05 in the, you know, in the first archives link. I don't think we're going to separate it into months or anything, but then we'll just keep building from it and taking the oldest ones off the current feed. So what you'll end up with at first is some duplication if you go to the archives. But then as the year progresses, you know, I'll probably take June's stuff off first. And, you know, as long as I've got it all over there on the 05 archive, I won't feel bad about removing it from the current feed. So we will remind you about that when the time comes, of course. Also, really probably need to get some categories going there for, you know, careers. I was listening to somebody's podcast and they were kind of getting on me in that about not doing my career, but obviously I did do my career. Hey, Dad! What's up, Dad?
You're at the wrong house. You're at the wrong address, dude.
Go away, huh? How's it
going, man? I just rolled up.
Me too!
Did you hear me on the bike?
Oh, were you on the bike?
Yeah, I was riding the motorcycle.
Oh, I thought you meant our bike.
No!
Huh, I don't know, I must have been
No, I came around the other way. You must have been coming down as I went
past. Yeah, I'm doing a podcast too, so I was just talking and not paying attention.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure you would have noticed anyway.
Well, let me put up the old big boy here. Where is everybody?
Just got here.
Oh, that's right. Right. Oh, he was telling me, right, wasn't he?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to tell everybody on Blind Cool Tech that we will see you guys next time. And you've got our contact info. Y'all have a good one, and catch you later. Where's Velma Lou?
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com. And our comment line is 206-984-9203.
They're keeping each other warm.